have served or serving in our armed forces, in our service, listen, reach out to them, love on them, express your appreciation to them. I want to tell you what, we enjoy the blessings of God because of those who have fought before and those who are doing it now. Amen. I'm telling you, we owe them a debt we can never pay. But listen, one way we can start is by what? Praying for them. Those we know, let's encourage them. Let's reach out to them. Amen. Bless them. Amen. Bless them financially. Wonder next time you're someplace and you see somebody in uniform, you just walk up to them and give them $50. Amen. Say, listen, we're praying for you. We appreciate what you're doing. You know, take your kid, take your wife out. Come on. Ooh, I need somebody to give me 50. Turn to Genesis chapter 37. Listen, we got to get out of the give me and get into I will. Amen. It's not just about my needs. I want to talk about a living a dream, a life with purpose. And I believe this, as I said earlier, that God has given everybody a dream or a destiny. It may be just, it may be something like, you know, I just want to have a good marriage, or I want to be a good godly mom or dad, or, you know, I want to influence my family and the next generation, or it may be my coworkers, or it may be some other way, but in every way. And I think we've done a disservice, in my opinion, when we try to separate in the church what we call the secular and the holy. Are you listening? You know, okay, well, you're just doing secular stuff. Where did we get that at? Amen? We need to rise up above that thinking. Listen, God called you as a mom or a dad. Listen, that's an important, important calling in God. Do you know that anybody ever heard of John Wesley? Amen? How about his brother Charles? Wrote all the hymns. Listen, you know that the great influence in their life, you read his biography, his autobiography, the great influence in his life, his mom. His mom taught him and taught him not only in the natural things, but taught him in godliness, taught him about the Lord, taught him about the things of God. Look what that did. It would have been real easy for us. Well, that's what good moms are supposed to do. But look what it did. What if she had not understood her destiny, her opportunity? And we're going to talk about that. See, sometimes we're so busy looking around for our opportunity, we don't realize we're living in our opportunity. We're living in a place where our destiny is colliding with the time in which we're living. And we need to grab hold of that and realize it's a destiny and it's a dream that God has given. Now I want to read you a familiar portion of Scripture as a way to kind of launch my message this morning. Genesis 37, verse 5. Joseph had a dream. Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream. And he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream. This time the sun and the moon, the 11 stars were banging down to me. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Now, the first thing I want you to understand here is dreams, visions and dreams, they are the language of the Holy Spirit. They are the language of the Holy Spirit. What has God put in your heart? What has God put in your heart? You know, a lot of times, as I said, we're looking out here externally. We're looking externally. You know, there are people trying to hit the lottery out here. They think if they hit the lottery out here, that will be the fulfillment of their dreams. They're looking around. They think if they can find Mr. Right or Miss Right or whatever, that will be the fulfillment of their dream. If I can just get on the right career path here, that's going to be the fulfillment. But listen, God's dream starts on the inside. It starts on the inside. That is the language of the Holy Spirit. What is the dream? What is the desire? What has God put within your heart? That thing that keeps rising up. That thing that you're crying out to God for understanding about. That thing that is motivating you, that's propelling you forward. What is that thing? That is the dream that God has given you. And listen, the decision, Cindy and I, the decisions we've made has been always with the dream and the purpose of God at the forefront. We didn't go where it was convenient. We didn't go because of a promise of a paycheck. We didn't go because this looked like a good career move. We didn't go because we thought we'd be more liked or less liked or whatever. We went because the dream, the vision, that thing, that desire that God had put within us. And we said, above all else, we want to do other things, but above all else, we must do this. We must move forward to this. This has to take the chief portion of my life, the chief portion of my prayer, the passion of my life. It has to be toward this. Are you out there? Listen, God gives a dream to reveal His purpose in life. And a purpose in God's dream, that's what gives value to life. Otherwise, we're no different than the animals out there who do the same old thing over and over and over again, the same old monotonous thing. There has to be more to life, and there is more to life than just going through the day-to-day-to-day motions. Do we have to do that? Yes. But is that what fills my life? No. And if it is, you know what's going to happen? You're going to start looking for a substitute. A substitute. Why do people get all entangled in stuff? Why do they get all caught up in the pursuit of power and things and all of this kind of stuff? It's because either they've never discovered or they've laid down the true purpose, the true dream that God has put within their heart. Amen? God wants to give you a dream. What? And a dream's going to do three things. It's going to inspire you. Listen. You ever been around Christians, you could tell they weren't inspired. You know what the root word of inspiration is? I-N, spirit. In spirit. In spirit. In spirit. What is, listen, if you are filled with the Spirit, if the Holy Spirit has given you a dream and a vision, then you know what? There's going to be some inspiration, inspiration. That's what it is. And if you're not inspired, you need to find out what has come between you and the dream of God. What has come between you and the purpose of God? What is it that you once had that you lost? Remember when you were so fired up and excited about God? And about the things of God, you couldn't wait to get into the Word. You couldn't wait to get into prayer. You couldn't wait to come to the house of God and worship God and feed on the Word and encourage one another. What happened to that? What happened to that? Where is that? Is it still there? If it's not, you need to go back. The Bible talks about over and over that God continually had to draw Israel back to their original purpose. He would raise up a prophet. He would raise up a judge. He would raise up a king. And the purpose was to draw them back to their destiny. Draw them back to the dream that God had put in their heart. Draw them back to their purpose in God. Amen. In the church, it's a shame as a whole. Our purpose is no different than the world's purpose. They want a big home. We want a big home. They want to be successful, we want to be successful. They want some money, we want some money. They want to be dressed nice, we want to be dressed nice. What have we got that's different? Hello? Why is Hollywood, that spirit of Hollywood, drawn so many people in the body of Christ toward it rather than toward God? It's because we have the same dream in the church, it's the same dream out there. We've got to understand this. God has something higher and greater and pure and more noble and more enduring than what anything out there has to be offered. God's dream is meant to inspire you. You go back and read over even the history of this country. Some of the great inventors, the great people in medicine, the great people who made and changed the landscape of this nation. And you go find out, and you'll find out in a vast majority of cases that they were born again believers. They were Christians. They were sold out to God. God gave them a dream. God gave them a vision. God gave them inspiration that changed a generation, that changed a nation. Come on. Inspire. The second thing is to guide you. People all the time tell me, I'm trying to find out I need direction for my life, Pastor. I need direction. Listen, you find the dream. Find the dream, you'll find direction. Are you listening?
Amen.
See, destiny is a journey to a destination. It's not an event, it's a process, it's a journey. And I'm walking this Christian life, what? But because God has spoken to my heart, God's put something in my heart, a dream, a purpose. And here's the thing, it's inspiring me. In other words, I get up every day, I have fresh strength for the journey. It's inspiring me. I'm feeling that divine percolation of the Holy Ghost within me that's rising up and saying, boy, today you're going to move closer to the destination. You're going to walk in my destiny today. You're going to walk in my purpose today, son. You're going to walk in it. You're going to sense my presence. You're going to sense my flow flowing through you. You know, God calls us in all our destiny. One of the common elements in it is to serve, isn't it? Listen, if you have a desire, somebody says, how can I tell if it's God or me? One of the ways is, if your desire and your dream is all about you, it's not God. Your desire and destiny, yes, it may bless you, but I want to tell you what, it has to have a kingdom hookup. It's about the kingdom. It's about serving. Serving. You know, one of our values here at Grace is that everyone find their place of service. Now listen, as we serve, listen, the grace of God flows through your service. Are you listening? No matter what you, if you're doing it as unto the Lord, and you're doing it in, especially in the area God called you to, it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're serving, there is a measure of God's grace that flows through your service. And that grace that's flowing through your service brings about an opportunity for God to do something in the lives of those you serve. Are you listening? So it will guide you. When I find God's dream and destiny, then you know what? There's a whole lot of questions that's already answered. Because you know what? A lot of stuff you need to know just has to do with this. Saying no to a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just saying no to a lot of stuff. I'm not going to get distracted by all this stuff because I know God's called me to do this. I'm not going to do that. You know, God's people are creative. Man, how can you have the Spirit of God not be creative? And you know, and talking with believers and that creative flow, man, everybody's got all kind of ideas about things we could do and where we could go. But you know what? You can only go one direction at a time. Isn't that true? And so here's the thing. You can hear somebody talk about what God's called them to do, and boy, it sounds good. Isn't that right? You can hear about somebody else's dream, and boy, that sounds good. And see, if you haven't found yours, you're thinking, well, I'll try this one. Wait a minute, I'll try that one. No, I go over here. I heard God's doing something over here. I heard God's doing something over here. So we're every which way. We're all over the place, but we're no further down to finding our destiny and our dream because we haven't settled it in ourselves. What is the Holy Spirit saying to me? So it will guide you.
Okay, this is the vision the Lord gave me. As we're proceeding down life's path, down our destiny, our path, God gave me this. It was like, okay, we're going down. And you know how when you're going down a road, sometimes there's a detour? Lord showed me there's two types of detours. Sometimes God puts a detour there. Sometimes it's a divine detour. And it's a testing of our faith. Because as we go down, you know, after a while, sometimes, you know, the thing is you got to keep going, though. You got to follow the detour. And eventually, if it's a God detour, it'll bring you back around and you'll get back on track. Amen. So it's just a testing of your faith. But there are false detours, too, that the devil puts there. How many of you watched The Roadrunner when you were growing up? Okay. Did you ever? I think this is where I got it from. Okay. So I pictured this. Here's The Roadrunner. We're roadrunners, right? Going down the highway of life. And we see a detour, and the Wile E. Coyote, yeah. Let's just say that's the devil, okay? He sets this detour there to kind of trick us, to fake us out, so we won't continue on the right path, you know? And he's got us going off to Timbuktu somewhere, you know? He's trying to, and that's what the devil does. He puts those roadblocks up sometimes, and he tries to get us off track. He tries to lure us with enticing things, you know, to get us off the track, doesn't he? You know, but what we have to do is when we realize that it's, hey, you know, you're going on and on and on. It's like, when is this ever going to end? When am I going to get back on track? You finally realize, you know, what should I do? Should I go back to where I started? Should I, you know, but you know what? At that point, if you cry out to God, God will provide a means for you to get back on track. That's the grace of God right there. So if you know that you're not on track right now, it's one of two things. It could be a testing of your faith. Or it could be the devil got you off track. Maybe you missed it somewhere. Maybe you read things wrong. But that's okay. Because once you acknowledge it, God will get you back on track again. You just cry out to God. He will hear you. He hears the voice of his sheep. And he will, if there's not a road there, he'll create a road. He'll get you back. He'll give you a cut through to get back over there. So you don't have to go, you know, you don't have to continue on that Wile E. Coyote, you know, detour. You can get back on track and make a direct route back there. So I feel like this is speaking to a lot of people because you know you're not where you need to be right now. So think about that next time, okay? And pray, cry out to God and ask God, okay, am I off because this is just a testing? Now, if you are, just keep going because, like I said, keep going forward. Don't stand still. Don't backtrack. Just keep going forward, and God will bring you back around. Just keep trusting, persevering, and he's going to bring you back around. Amen? Amen. Amen.
You're going to preach my message. I'm about to get to that point. Let me just say this, and then we are going to talk about tests and trials. Listen, a dream without God in it is a living. A dream with God in it is a life. It's a big difference. Do you want to make a living? Do you want to make a life? Now we know this, that your dream will be tried and tested as it seeks to take root and grow. And know this, it has to take root before there's any fruit. Right? You're not going to have fruit without root. Listen, a trial. Why does a trial come? To strengthen you. So that you can develop what? Endurance and patience, because that's going to be needed to see the dream fulfilled. Turn over to James chapter 1. You know the scripture, but let's read it real quickly. One way you know you got a God dream is it's going to be tested. Come on. It will be. See, we think, oh, God gave me a word, God gave me a desire, God gave me a dream here. It's just going to, you know, it's just going to fall on me. It's just going to happen. And so when we don't understand that and time marches on and we haven't seen it yet, we begin to doubt. We begin to wonder, did God really speak to me? Is that really a God desire? Did God really show me that? Maybe that was just something I wanted. But notice here in James 1, let's look at verse, well, let's back up to 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, Whenever you face trials of many kinds. Well, let me ask you, is that what you're doing? Come on, he said, count it pure joy. Whoa, that's, boy, that's, we may have to go off and pray over that, haven't we? Because you know, how can you do that? You can't unless you know something. Because you know the testing of your faith, what? Develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that what? You may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. In other words, if you want to see the dream come to pass, then it's going, you're going to have to what? Develop endurance and patience. Yep. Two words that are not really popular in our culture. Pastor, tell me how I can get it today. Isn't that right? You know, you see the ad on TV, or maybe you go in a store or something, they say, how can we put this in your home today? How can we put you in this car today? You never see a salesman. You know what I think? Really, I think right now you need to wait probably and save up some more money and maybe get your financial house in order and then come back and see. Hey, we can do it today. You don't have to wait for any of that. You can have it today. Come on. And so we get over into spiritual things and into God's kingdom, and we don't understand. Why don't we have it now? I mean, pastors told me that God can do anything. Pastors told me this is the will of God. Pastors told me this is the promise of God. Why don't I have it today? If the salesman can do that today, why come God can't do it today? Because he's wanting to do something in you as well as something for you. Amen? Sure he is. A trial will strengthen you to develop endurance and patience. Now listen. Depending on your understanding and how you face it, a trial will either strengthen you or discourage you. It will either strengthen you or discourage you. He said you can count it all joy knowing this. That the trying of your faith, the trying of that dream, the trying of that purpose that God has given you, it's doing something in you. Because listen, not only does my dream have to, as it were, grow, I've got to grow too. You may not be ready for God to bring you into the fullness of His plan and purpose for your life. You may make a mess of it. Amen? Isn't that right? I mean, if you're struggling with the where you're at now, maybe you're not ready for something bigger yet. But you know what? If you face the test and the trial, you understand the purpose of it, then it will strengthen you. Yes. It'll bring completeness to your faith. Yeah. Listen, when God speaks to you, a dream, a desire, destiny that God puts in you, listen, it'll always be bigger than where you are now. Yes. Not smaller, bigger. I said bigger. Amen. Than where you are now. Bigger than where you are now. Greater than where you are now. Greater potential than where you are now. This is what you understand. So while the dream is coming to pass, what? You've got to grow into your dream. You've got to grow into the place where you can handle. Have you got a dream of preaching before thousands? Well, let me ask you something. Are you preaching before the two you have? Or if you say, I've got a dream of having my own business. Are you a faithful employer where you are now? Can you get to work on time? But you want God to give you your own business. Amen. Come on. Boy, I'm telling you. So you must grow into your dream. Turn over to Psalm 105 real quick. I'll move along here. Listen, and everybody who receives something from God, you go through this process. Now, the problem is when you don't respond to the test and the trial properly, you get stuck. Are you listening to me? You get stuck. You don't believe that? Ask the children of Israel. See, they were going through a test and trial in the wilderness, and all they did was gripe and complain. If they weren't griping about God, they were griping about Moses. You read it over there. God got it wrong, Moses got it wrong. You know, they always, you know, it's always, listen, there's always somebody we can blame. Come on, isn't that true? I can blame somebody for my stuff. It's somebody's fault. It surely isn't mine. It couldn't be mine, great as guys I am. I'm speaking that for all of us. Isn't that right? That's how we feel about ourselves. We're pretty great. And you are. 105:17. He sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. Now, this is the same Joseph that we just read about his dream. Remember where everybody was bowing down to him? Boy, that when he had the dream, it sounded good, didn't it? Everybody's going to bow down to me. Man, you know, when I was younger and God speak to me, Joseph was probably like this. He was just a young man. He probably thought it was going to happen tomorrow. Man, God gave me a dream and a desire in my heart and a vision. I thought, man, boy, bless God, smart as I am, by next week we'll have this. There's a few more than next weeks that had to come by, though. Isn't that right? And we need to understand that. And God's working in our life, whatever the area it is. We have to understand that God's working this thing through us. And so here comes the process. The dream came, now here comes the trial. He's sold as a slave. Oh my goodness. They bruised his feet with shackles. Wait a minute. God, this is not supposed to be happening to me. Remember the dream you gave me? All these people bowing down? You kind of left off some of the details here, God. What about these chains? You know he was like anybody else. You know he had to have his moments when he thought, wait a minute. Was that dream really from God? Maybe that lamb we ate was, you know, left out too long or something. I mean, what is going on here? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, God put something in your heart and you're just excited. You're inspired. You're fired up. You're making decisions. You're telling people you're blessed. God, you know what I'm talking about? And then, next thing you know, your feet are in shackles. Oh, man. His neck was put in irons. You ever had your neck put in irons? It's not. Until. Everybody say until. You know what? Maybe you haven't come to your until yet. Maybe you're at the place where you feel like the shackle is there. Something's holding you back. That you're bound up by something. I want to tell you what. That's part of the test and the trial, is for God to do a work in you. To do a work in you. So that when the vision, when the dream, when the destiny, when it comes to pass, you know what? You will use it rightly. We know this about Joseph. That once he was delivered, once the dream actually did come to pass, and his brothers were there bowing before him, Joseph was able to handle the destiny rightly. He wasn't small and petty with his power. He didn't say, look here, boys. I told you. Boy, now, you're going to get it. Remember what you did to me? You put me in that pit? Oh, buddy. You ain't seen the pit. I'm going to dig for you. No. God had done such a work in Joseph's life that when the dream came, he was big enough for the dream. He had grown himself. He could handle the dream. He could handle the business. He could handle the prosperity. He could handle whatever it was that was the dream. Until what he foretold came to pass. Listen. Until what he foretold came to pass, the word of the Lord proved him. What's happening in your life right now? That word of the Lord to you, that dream, that promise, it's proving you. It's proving you. I want to read you something here. Listen to this. We've all heard this, you know, that the test and the trial, we've heard this all our lives in church, has come to teach us something. That's not true. I said, that's not true. Listen to this. The Bible says, study to learn, test to prove. The proving, listen to me now. The proving comes about because you're going to demonstrate in your life, and God's going to demonstrate in your life and through your life the truth He has put there. See, you don't learn truth through the trial. You prove truth in the trial. And see, I'm proving that the Word, God's promise, what the Holy Spirit spoke, I'm proving it true. I'm going through the trial, but you know what? I'm proving something. I remember in math, they used to, I don't even know if they still do it the same way, but we used to, in algebra and different things, we used to have proofs. So that you'd work through the formulas and everything, but then you had to what? You'd show the proof of it. In other words, what was the proof? You weren't learning the math then. You were proving that what you'd learned was right. That's what's going on in your life now. And see, if we will hold steady, if we will allow and understand that and let endurance, let patience work in us, let a right heart attitude be in us, then you know what? There will come a time just like this. Notice what it says. It says, till the word of the Lord proved him true, the king sent and released him. There's coming a release for your dream. There's coming a release for your destiny. If you will stay steady. But see, here's the thing. What if Joseph had just started complaining? Oh, I tell you what. I don't know. I don't know about this stuff. I don't know about this. Hey, this is not going to happen. This is not going to come to pass. God, why'd you do this to me? God, why'd you allow this to do this to me? I'll tell you what. I'm just tired. I'm going to stay home. I'm tired of this church business. They talk about all this stuff. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. Come on. Because here's the thing, you can prolong the test. Ask the children of Israel. It wasn't God's will for them to be in the wilderness 40 years. God had told them, he said, for every day that you've griped and complained in my ears, he said, you're going to wander a year. Go back and look at it. I'm not saying that that's a principle, but I'm telling you what. It's enough to put the fear of God in me. I don't want to wander needlessly, do you? Listen, a test will prove your dream to be authentic and from God. Listen to this real quickly. I'm going to read you some things. My time's running out. When there is no external sign of blessing and no internal sense of blessing, what? Your dream is being tested. Do you think when Joseph was in the pit, when Joseph was in the prison, that he felt anointed? Oh, hallelujah, yes. No. See, we want to live out of our emotions rather than out of the dream, out of the faith, out of the word God's given us. And I want to tell you what, you can't do that. Man, you know, I've told you this before, it's true, isn't it? Your emotions are so unreliable. You can go to bed, everything's right, everything, you know what I mean. Everything's pretty good. You know, you're doing, and you get up the next morning, you can just feel discouraged. And I mean, all you did was get up. Nothing's changed. That's how your feelings are. You know? So we can't live that way. So sometimes, you know, when it looks like nothing's happening, your dream, what? It's being tested. Listen, remember, in this test, it's an open book test. See, don't think it's a closed, no, it's open book. Get back in the book. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, remember there in James, as you're going through this testing and trying, he said, let him ask of God. Yes. Well, let me just say this. When you ask of God, get in the book. I mean, to ask of God wisdom and then you put the book up on the shelf. Amen? You know? That's like you stop for directions. You're on a trip somewhere and you stop for directions and they tell you and then you just ignore it and go on the way you were going. When you can't hear God, you ever been there where it seems like you can't hear God, hear from God? When you can't hear God, here's a good tip for you. Read God. Read God. Because sometimes your emotions in the midst of a trial can get so stirred up that it's hard for you to be in tune with the Spirit of God. You ever been there? I mean, everything's churning. Your mind's just running 90 miles an hour. You know, you can't seem to hear from God. Then you know what? Get in the book and read God. Read God. Read what it said. Read the promise of God. Read what God told you. Read what God spoke to you. How many give me just a few more minutes? I want to help you. I want to just give me a few more minutes. I want to talk about taking. See, because she keeps taking up my preaching time.
I remember when we first got married. I don't know if this was in your Bible, written on the inside cover, or something I heard him say. And I used to wrestle with this a lot. And it was this quote. I don't know if you heard it from pastor or what, but it says, God is more interested in our development than he is in our deliverance. Think about it. God is more interested in our development than he is in our deliverance. And I really had a hard time with that one because, you know, I know God wants
deliver
us to be delivered.
Me.
Well, I mean, we want, like he was saying, we want now. We want to get delivered now. God, why, you know, what's the wait? You know, God, you're a God of deliverance. He's the deliverer. I mean, we sing about it, right? So, but he wants us to be developed more than he wants me to be delivered. So, I mean, this really applies to when you're going through tests. Because there's something he's wanting to do in you before he delivers you.
Amen. You got to grow.
You got to grow. I pondered this and pondered this and pondered this. What do you mean by that? Where did you get that from anyway? Who said that?
I think pastor said that.
I think our pastor said that. And Norris had put it on the inside of his, and the other thing he had on the inside of his Bible, the first Bible that he had when we were first married, said that God is smarter than I am. The most profound thing he ever learned was the fact that God is smarter than I am. And those two things have stuck with me these 25 some years. They'll set your course straight. Both of those two things together, they'll put you back on the right path and get your priorities back in order and encourage you in the test and trial. Amen?
Just keep it. Turn it off and keep it. Oh, hallelujah. That's good. Taking hold of your dream. Turn over, if you will, real quickly to Ecclesiastes just for a couple of verses here. Now I want to share some thoughts real quickly, and we're going to let you go. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11 and 12, he said, I've seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no man knows when his hour will come. A fish are caught in a cruel net. Birds are taken in a snare. So men are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly on them. Now, I want to look especially right now at that verse in verse 11. He says, time and chance happen to them all. What do you mean by that? I believe one of the things that God means by this is that his opportunity comes to every person. His destiny, his opportunity comes to every person. The thing is, are we ready to seize the opportunity? Amen? Are we ready to seize the opportunity? Saul is a perfect example of someone who did not seize their opportunity. Are you listening? Samson is someone who did not seize his opportunity. The Bible's replete with them, isn't it? And I believe this, chance, I don't mean in the sense of what way some people, here's my definition of chance. Chance is an opportunity to collide with your destiny. Chance is an opportunity to collide with your destiny. In other words, God brings someone across your path. God opens a door. God grants you favor. God does something that is, as it were, your opportunity to collide, to intersect with his divine destiny. As you're following God, as you're moving along with God, as you're maintaining a right attitude and listening to God, as you walk along and you're remembering the dream and the purpose of God, somewhere along the line, there will be an intersection. It may be a Damascus road. It may not be. But somewhere there will be an opportunity that God will bring to you. And here's the thing, as I said, a destiny is designed to take us, what, to a destination. It's a journey, it's not an event. Now listen, Satan, here's a principle. Satan becomes active against our life when he sees we're about to take hold of our destiny. Oh, he will rise up. What happened to Joseph? Joseph said, I've got a dream from the Lord. Immediately the devil rises up and begins to do everything he can to destroy it. The prophetic word comes true about the Messiah coming in. The wise men come. They talk to Herod. Herod, the devil moves through Herod and says, I'm going to circumvent the plan of God. And so he moves to kill all the male child 2 years and under. I mean, over and over, as God's divine plan begins to come to a point of fruition, to come to a point of a turning, as it were, in your life, you can watch out. You can guarantee it, the devil's going to become active because he senses when things are happening in the spirit world. If he didn't, why would he move the way he did to try to destroy Jesus? No, he doesn't know the future. But he can tell when something's starting to happen in the realm of the spirit. He knew something was happening with Joseph. He knew something was happening here with Daniel and the Hebrew children. Wait a minute, man, something's going on here. And he can tell when something begins, there begins to be the stirring of God's plan and the Spirit of God and spiritual activity surrounding your life and your purpose and destiny. And he's going to come in and try to throw up every kind of discouraging roadblock, every kind of thing he can. I remember, can I tell you a story? I remember back in, I believe it was 93. We had moved back. To our hometown. We moved back from the mission field. We moved back there. If it had cost a dime to go around the world, we couldn't got out of sight. You know, because that's why we went to the mission field, to get rich. Not. But I mean, you know, we were broke going somewhere to happen. You know. And I mean, right about that time, I mean, it looked like everything in the world that could go wrong was going wrong. It looked like, man, it was over. You've had it. You know, you're never going to see the dream. You're never going to see the ministry. You're never going to see it fulfilled. Zen and I were trying to work jobs. I mean, you know, I'm coming home from work, working a job, and all of a sudden, wham, somebody hits me in my car, knocks me upside down, totals my car, and I'm sliding down the highway upside down. And I'm spinning around like this, going down the road. Cindy's diagnosed with cancer. We don't have any insurance. We got three small kids. We have no income. We have nothing. I mean, it was just like one thing after another thing after another thing seemed to hit us. You know what we did? No, we didn't. Did we want to? Yes. Did our feelings say that's what you ought to do? Yes. But we decided that we were going to what? We were going to... What? We were going to follow God. Amen? And we rose up. And I want to tell you what. We were living in a little apartment. We didn't have any money, nothing. I want to tell you, that happened within a year and a half. I was back in ministry. Cindy had a great job. We bought a brand new home. I mean, she was healed of cancer. All the debts were paid. About a year, year and a half, something like that. All I'm saying is here's the thing. See, you know, I'm not trying to tell you something that we haven't had to deal with. But, you know, thank God we knew what we're sharing with you now. We knew what to do. We understood what was happening. Yeah. Instead of, oh, God, why is this happening to me? I'm trying to serve you. We just got back from the mission field, God. We gave everything we had. Come on. I've talked to Christians. They won't even come to church anymore. They're mad at God because God hadn't come through for them like they thought that he should. So I'm going to show God. Bless your heart. What are you going to show him? You're going to show him that you're dumb. Now notice real quickly this last part. He said, a fish are caught in a cruel net, and birds are taken in a snare. Listen, a net, there are nets in our lives. A net is anything that tries to confine and control you. Hold you back from moving on with God's destiny and purpose for your life. Listen, it can be a net of addiction. Some of you, it could be wrong relationships. Come on. I had to cut loose from some relationships. Listen, a lot of our people, when Cindy said, we're going on the mission field with two small kids in diapers, they thought we were out of our mind. I mean, they were kind of like Jesus' family, you know, when, you know, they came and tried to, you know, your family's out here, they're going to try to get him because Jesus has gone out of his mind. You read it over there. So it could be wrong relationships. You may be addicted to a relationship that's holding you back. They don't want to go on with God, so they're holding you back. They don't have a dream from God, so they don't want you to have one. Remember his brothers? And a net of a wrong relationships can keep you in a pit. And as long as you're in the pit, you're not going to fulfill the dream. It could be a net of wrong ideas or wrong thinking, wrong attitudes, bitterness, fear. Fear of failure. What if I do that and fail? Well, what if you do? Anybody in here never failed at anything? Let's see your hand. There you go. And you're still here. You remember the story of the rich young ruler, don't you? What held him back? Do you know Jesus called him to be one of his disciples? Read it over there. We don't have time, but read it. He said, go sell your stuff, give to the poor, come forth and be one of my disciples. But what, he was snared in a net that kept him from the purpose of God. He was snared in a net. Remember another man, he was attached to relationships, were out of bounds in his life. Jesus said, come follow me and be one of my disciples. He said, well, let me first go home and bury my father. He said, let the dead bury the dead, you come follow me. See, sometimes wrong relationships, they may not be dead literally, but they may be dead spiritually. Oh, they may be born-again Christians, but they're dead as far as their faith goes. They're dead as far as vision goes. They're dead as far as a dream goes. And they want you to stay there with them. Stay in the house of the dead. Real quickly here, Matthew 4. You need to stretch, you're all right? As Jesus, verse 18, was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once, I want you to notice this, they left their nets. They left their nets. Listen, entangled in a net, a fish can't swim. Entangled in a net, a bird can't fly. And entangled in a net, you can't fulfill your dream. The dream God put in your heart. It says they left when they got the word, the call of God, when they understood the purpose of God for life, they dropped their net. Some of you this morning, you need to drop some of your nets. It may be the network of relationships you're in. They're holding you back. They may be. I'm not saying that they're not good people. I'm not saying anything. Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that. But they're holding you back. They're holding you back. Because they don't want it. Remember what Jesus told about the Pharisees? The Pharisees were religious dead weights. Because he said to the Pharisees, you won't enter into the purpose of God, and you hold others back who want to go in. And so this morning, you know what? You need to drop a net. It may be a net of excuses. Remember when the parable Jesus said, you know, go. The ruler went out, or the king went out and said, invite people to my banquet. And one of them said, well, I bought a yoke of oxen and I got to prove them. I've got this going on, I've got that going on. It was a net of excuses. Maybe you need to let go of some of the excuses that you've been making as to why you can't step out into God's dream. You can't step out into God's purpose. You can't move out into God's plan. Or as I said, it may be a net of worry, of fear. What will people think? Well, listen, what difference does it matter? What difference does it matter? Isn't that true? Why let someone else be the source of your happiness? If they think well of you, you're happy. If they don't, you're unhappy. They're controlling you. I shared with Pastor Duane in the office earlier where Paul said this when he was standing before Agrippa. He said, King Agrippa, he said, I think myself happy. He was bound in chains. You remember when he said that? He said, I think myself happy. course, he was talking about, you know, to stand before you. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a truth in that, though, isn't it? You know, we think ourselves happy. We think ourselves. In other words, what is the plan and purpose of God? Do you know what it is for your life? Then the second thing I want to ask you, are you pursuing it? Are you pursuing it with all of your heart? Have you dropped any net, any entanglement that will hold you back? This is what Jesus said to do. He said, you know, as soon as he called them, they put their nets aside. Put your nets aside. You know, it seemed like just yesterday I was 20. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It does. Life was all out here. Now there's some of it behind. You know, that's all I hear. You think, oh man, no problem. I got plenty of time, plenty of time, plenty of time, plenty of time. All of a sudden you realize I don't have quite as much time, quite as much time, quite as much time. Here's the thing. Time has a way of slipping up on all of us, doesn't it? But see, you've got to allow yourself a sense of urgency to arise within you concerning the purpose of God and say, I've got to go after it. I've got to go after it. I can't keep putting it off. I can't keep putting it off. You know, I can't say, well, when the house is paid off, when the kids get grown, when they get in college, when I get them out of college, there's always going to be something. I mean, I've gone down the road far enough now to where I can tell you there's always going to be something if you look for something. But you know what? You can rise up today and say, I'm going forward. I'm going for it, God. I'm going for the purpose you've called me. I'm going to rise up and lay hold of it. Amen?
Amen.
Well, stand up on your feet. Let go of the things that are entangling you. The fears. The concerns, all of the things that will hold you back, that will keep you from soaring, that will keep you from moving forward in the purpose of God. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not sure if I really got a purpose from God. Well, then the place you need to start is in your prayer closet. Take the book, the B-I-B-L-E, take the book, and get in your prayer closet and say, God, what is your purpose for me? What is your dream for me, for my family? What is it that you've called me to do? And listen, I'm not talking about necessarily being a missionary and going to Africa and all that. I mean, that's part of it. But listen, don't just limit it to that. It may be business. It may be about your family. It may be about other things. But, you know, here's the thing. Everybody's got something. Otherwise, you're just going through the routine. Sure, go ahead.
While he was speaking, and Pastor Cindy, but a word of the Lord came to me that with God, you when you are in the perfect will of God, the devil will set up every trap that he can for you. But in that, no time is wasted with God. Joyce Myers, I do my meditations every day, and so Joyce Myers has a phrase, no time is wasted in God.
Right.
When you are in the perfect will of God, you will have these obstacles, you will have these trials, you will have whatever the case may be. We saw, you know, David, well, we saw Joseph, and of course David, and every other man and woman of
right.
God. But when you are in the perfect will of God, don't be discouraged, because God will bring you forward.
Amen. Absolutely. 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 What I want to do is I want to pray over you right now. And, you know, we're going to pray for a variety of things in this prayer. Some of you, it may be that you need, you know, you've